Feast of the Epiphany, we celebrate, of course, during this Christmas season, the arrival of the three kings, the Magi, the wise men, to Bethlehem, as we read in our gospel today. But one of the things that always strikes me about this passage and this story in Scripture is how the people in Jerusalem managed to miss the birth of Jesus. They missed the star. They seem to be kind of oblivious to what's going on. How can that be? Because we know that for thousands of years, the Jewish people had been waiting for the Messiah. They had been carefully preparing. Everybody was waiting for his coming. The prophecy of Daniel was being fulfilled, that the time was near. People expected that the Messiah would be born soon. And yet, we have this almost then comical encounter where these magi from the east show up, presumably not Jewish. There's maybe some idea that maybe Jeremiah would have been exiled in that area, and perhaps they could have had some kind of Jewish background, but for the most part, we're believing that these magi were not Jewish. And yet they show up in Jerusalem to the king of the Jews and say, "Where is he?" Where's who? "The Messiah. Didn't you see the star? We saw a star. Here we are." And yet it says that Herod and all Jerusalem with him are troubled. How could they miss it? For thousands of years of waiting, this is the day, and these non-Jews show up and say, "Where is he?" I wonder, what is it that makes Herod and everybody else miss the coming of the Messiah, which is perfectly obvious and manifest to these magi? Well, if we look at why the magi were able to find Jesus, one of the things we can't ignore is this star. Now, we don't know exactly what the Star of Bethlehem was, but one thing that has always bugged me a little bit as a scientist is, I mean, I know how to navigate by the stars, but I mean, that's like, okay, there's the North Star, and you can learn directions, but the stars can't really be directly over a place that you could kind of follow it and arrive at one teeny tiny geographical spot on the earth. It doesn't work quite that way. But I saw a great kind of documentary religious show on the Star of Bethlehem, and it pointed out what I had always kind of thought must be the case, that it's not so much that it's one big bright light that everyone can see. Obviously not, because Herod missed it. More, it's learning how to interpret what's going on in the stars. Particularly the show I watched posed a hypothesis, you could take it or leave it, that the Star of Bethlehem had something to do with the planet Jupiter, the father planet that three times Regulus, the king star, goes around it and crowns it, and then it really would have moved from the east to the west, perfectly aligned with Jerusalem, and then when they get to Jerusalem, because of the retrograde motion of the planet, it would have actually moved to the south over Bethlehem, and there it would have stopped. It's an interesting kind of hypothesis, but I think what it does point out to us is that the Star of Bethlehem wouldn't have been amazingly obvious. It's not like people all over the globe would have walked out at night and looked up and said, "Wow, what's that?" Rather, it would be subtle, something that would need to be interpreted. The Magi were able to see it because they were looking. In fact, they were looking in the right place, and they were not Jewish, perhaps, but using the natural abilities that God gave them to interpret the world, to look up at the sky and say, "Well, now that's interesting. Why is that king star going around that father planet like that? We've never seen that before in our life." And it's true, it would have never happened in their lifetime. And they saw it, and they said, "This means something." And the fact that it took place in a constellation that referred to the Jews. And that's how they knew to go to Jerusalem. They know how to interpret. Herod and the people in Jerusalem apparently have not been looking in the right place. They've stopped, perhaps, looking at the stars. They don't know where to look, and so they miss it. I think that's a good lesson to us then on Epiphany. Where are we looking for signs of Jesus? Do we just kind of go about our life oblivious that when Jesus shows back up, do we expect someone to, you know, walk in, a Muslim walks into our church and says, "Where is he?" We're like, "Where's who?" "Jesus, he's back. I saw it, I heard it." And we're all oblivious. Where are we looking for the signs of Jesus' presence? I think the Magi get it because they're paying attention. So we too, if we're going to find Jesus, need to be paying attention. The problem is, Herod was not looking in the right place. Jesus didn't come to a royal palace. He didn't come as a powerful ruler. He came as a poor little baby, insignificant, born in a stable. Perhaps if we are to find Jesus today, we shouldn't be surprised that we should look for him in maybe unexpected places. The poor, the vulnerable, the marginalized, the people that we would least perhaps want to have as friends or hang out with. There's where Jesus is found, in the suffering, the ones that need our help. Are we paying attention? The other thing that strikes me about this story then is it requires more than just paying attention and seeing the sign. After all, the Magi saw it and they were far away in Iran. And they see it and they go. They leave everything behind that they couldn't take on their camels, and they cross this huge desert to get to Jerusalem, all because they saw the star. I wonder how many times in our life we too maybe do see signs of Jesus. We kind of see his call. That guy on the street with the sign that says, you know, "Need help." I gotta admit, that always drives me crazy when I'm coming up to the stoplight. And I'm like, "Oh no, there's a guy there with the sign." You know, and I'm dressed as a priest, I'm like, "I can't just drive by him. I'm gonna have to roll down my window and give him something." Maybe it's those little people that God puts there. How often do we see signs of God, but we're not willing to make that journey like the Magi did across the desert? It's not easy to go and find Jesus. Sometimes it requires great effort when we see the signs. But the truth is, Jesus knows what we need. He gives us enough. He knew the curiosity of the Magi. He knew that it was enough to give them this great sign and they would go. What signs is God perhaps giving us? Giving us enough that we should go. Are we going? And finally, when we get there, it says that the Magi gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That would have been the best that they had. They gave Jesus, symbolically, their whole life, their livelihood, their greatest treasures, possessions. When we find Jesus, perhaps, do we hold back? Is Jesus really first? Or do we kind of do our thing most of the time and then try to fit Jesus in? The Magi are there also a good example to give our very best to God. And finally, the little detail at the end that perhaps we might miss. It says that after the Magi encounter Jesus, they return to their own country by another route. Now, historically, this meant that they didn't go back to Herod to say, "Hey, we found him. He's down here in Bethlehem." Because we know what Herod does. He goes and kills all the little boys under 2 years of age. Rather, the Magi, it says, return to their country by another route. Spiritually, I think that's a beautiful example of what is meant to happen when we encounter Jesus. We can't just keep going our same way. When we see the signs, when we are willing to do the effort to go to meet Jesus and we give him our best, Jesus isn't going to say, "Now, good for you, and just go back to what you were doing." Perhaps that's why we're scared of encountering Jesus, because we know he's going to ask us to change. Maybe our lives are not on the path they need to be. The Magi go home by a different route, and I think that's what's meant to happen with us too. The encounter with God is a two-way street. God does his part. We were talking about this in RCIA this week with the sacraments. Someone was asking about how the grace of the sacraments works. Well, God does his part, floods us with his Holy Spirit, with his grace. But they asked, what if the person just doesn't care? What if they don't do anything with it? Then nothing happens. We have to respond to God's grace. We have to go by a different route. Each one of us today is going to have the opportunity to come forward and encounter Jesus in the Eucharist, to receive him into our very bodies. The question is, what difference will it make? If we receive Jesus at the altar and then just walk right out the door to our car before Mass is even over, not only did we not receive grace, we actually committed a sacrilege and wind up worse off in sin than when we came in. Our life has to change when we encounter Jesus. Today, as he is manifest, epiphanied, if you will, to us, how will our lives be different? How will they change as we encounter him in his word today, in the priest, in the assembly, and especially in the Eucharist? Jesus is right here, just as he was in Bethlehem. Pray that we would be like the Magi then and not miss him.